Well, not the logistics of ass eating per se. Getting your ass eaten, it's different. From the other end, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, from the other end, that's just regular, like, making out.
What? Oh.
See what I did there?
I did.
This is Western Information. Western Information.
The Happy Hour.
This is the Wasted Information Happy Hour. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
I used to have this co-worker, right?
Okay.
I worked at a place. I don't get too specific. But
that was about as general as you can get. You worked at a place.
Yep. We worked nights, so there was a lot of downtime. This fella was a very religious fella, but not in a normal way. Okay. He spent his nights copying the Bible. Like, he had a very, like, old copy of the Bible, and he was not transcribing it. He was literally just writing it down in, like, another book. I don't know why. Well, I didn't know why. He claimed that it was giving him powers. Like, as he was getting to certain parts of the Bible, he would get certain powers. Like, he said he could see through his apartment wall and saw that his landlord was walking down the hallway. And then his landlord knocked on the door. Ultimately, my theory was he had a gas leak in his apartment. So, but that wasn't the weirdest situation.
Well, did he know what powers he was going to get?
Not at all.
Was it like a checkpoint? Like,
he didn't know. He just felt like he was getting more powerful as he was doing it, and that, I guess, happened. Then he had an experience, which I brought up earlier, but I kind of misled you with it, because I left out a crucial detail.
Before you get into this, I feel like this is how, like, evil villains are started in comic books. Like,
could be.
Like, they're doing something crazy and they don't know why, but they're getting power. Okay, continue.
Well, his experience, which he told one person who told the rest of us, and then we ended up talking to him at length about it. He believed,
like, intervention style, or
not? Well, just, it was more of like an interview. We were just outside of work asking him about it.
Very curious about what happened.
Yes.
Okay.
Doing a lot of teasing, but he told us.
I'm curious. I want to know.
He told us that he had sex with an angel.
Okay.
So, breaking it down from my point of view, sounded like, well, because he said he blacked out and started convulsing, and then he was visited. I think, going back to the, like, carbon monoxide poisoning with, like, a gas leak, I think he just passed out and had a wet dream. He claims I've had a video on my phone for a long time of him explaining it, and I listen to it every once in a while just in awe. But
can we use part of this audio?
No, not at all.
And let the people know?
Nope. Because I'd have to let him know, because he's the one talking. I don't know how to contact him. It's been years. But essentially, he started convulsing, and he was visited by an angel who told him she was his angel wife and was basically a reward for his good service of copying down the Bible. He said that they had sex. And he knows they had sex because when he felt it, he's like, he had an emission, and he came to with, as my other coworker put it, with just this oyster in his pants. He ejaculated on himself and the angel was gone. But he says it was real. He was there. Well, she was there. They engaged in sexual intercourse. And I'm sitting.
So what our audio listeners are missing is probably my facial reaction right now, which
it's
is
just, well, they're probably
confusion
feeling the same way.
I feel like I would have questions. Is he okay? Have
I
we
don't
checked
know.
On him? Like,
I don't know. I haven't heard from him since I stopped working there.
Because like you said, either there's some sort of leak most likely going on in the or like
he moved not too long after that, but he was still acting sus. He didn't bring up the angel wife.
Other mental issues going on.
Probably. And there's maybe he had sex with an angel, though. Who are we to say he didn't? I'll say he didn't. I'll just be the one. The first
I was
going to
say, I think we introduced ourselves earlier. You're Jimmy, I'm Brandon.
I'm pretty sure.
We can both say he didn't.
Yeah, like I said, I'm pretty sure he just had a wet dream.
Yeah, like maybe a seizure into a wet dream. Like, oof.
Potentially. But yeah, so that was a weird morning
You should check and see if he's okay.
I don't know how to contact him. The only
contact him. Just
I don't
really look
I don't,
him up.
I don't know how. Like I don't know who. The only person I would know doesn't work at that place anymore. So,
all right. Well, yeah. I got nothing to segue from that. So.
Let's talk about the news. What's going on in the world that you've researched?
First of all, dude, you're not that far away from me. Are you dealing with the same weather shit that we are? Like
cold?
We had an ice storm. Did you guys get the ice storm?
I mean, there's ice.
Everything here, literally everything here is coated in at least an inch of ice.
We
like,
did not.
Our trees, each individual grass blades, like it's crazy. Like, my dog doesn't want to go outside because he doesn't like walking on it right now.
No, we did not get that.
It was insane. Also, Kentucky doesn't know how to deal with ice storms. It literally shut down our city for 2 days. Yeah, it was quite crazy. I was really caught off guard because it happened like, I don't know, a day and a half ago now from when we're recording. I looked at a headline right before we hopped on. And it was like 50,000 people in Kentucky are still without power. Like, that's a whole lot of people.
That is.
Without power. Anyway, dude, I don't know what's going on right now. I mean, the Trump impeachment thing's happening.
Not really following because there's no point.
I was listening to it while making dinner tonight. And on the day we're recording this, they just wrapped up all the questioning part. So
you could have gotten more information if you would have listened to like whale songs.
Like you would have been more politically informed. There's already going to be a decision and they're already not going to convict him or whatever it's actually called when they vote against him. Convicting?
I don't know.
We'll go with that. I was getting so mad listening to the lawyers on both sides.
That's why
like,
you don't.
Not really the House side, but his defense team. One of them's literally, it's like he called like 1-800, get me a lawyer. And they got three people to stand up there and to take it because it doesn't matter because it's not going to change anyone's mind. But they are just all over the place. Like anyone who listened to the opening argument, so they're just rambling. But I don't remember. God, I had a specific one in mind and I lost it. But they're absolutely fools. And it doesn't matter because nothing's going to happen to them, which is a shame. But what's his name? Eugene Goodman, the Capitol Police officer who diverted the insurrectionists and saved Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Did get the congressional gold medal. So that was cool. He did good shit. Good for him. My wife did make a good point of like, for how much earlier in like 2020, there was all this, essentially it was Black Lives Matter versus the Blue Lives Matter, which is stupid on its own side, movement. And there are so many people who were just anti-cop in general and anti-police. If any of them had the chance to now capitalize on this, like, why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you make this guy who is the most famous police officer in the country, who's also black and who's everyone's hero, just make that guy like your spokesperson and be like, look, police do good things too. And no one's doing that.
Because the people that were promoting Blue Lives Matter weren't promoting cops right. Lives matter.
Exactly.
They're promoting Black Lives Don't Matter.
Exactly.
Because the same people that were carrying Blue Lives Matter flags beat a cop to death with an American flag. So it wasn't about cops the whole time. Yeah, we were bamboozled. The racists are tricky.
How dare they? No one saw that one coming. But anyway.
So what else is going on in the news? I got a story.
Who, what you got?
PepsiCo announced the name change of its Jemima Pancake Mix and Syrup brand to Pearl Milling Company. The snacking and beverage company announced on Tuesday. Compared to whenever this comes out, it was a Tuesday.
But they announced it on a Tuesday. It's good enough for us.
Didn't know that Quaker Oats was a subsidiary of PepsiCo. I'm not surprised, but
PepsiCo owns fucking everything.
Yeah. But
if you like snacking on it, it's owned by PepsiCo.
Yep. Or like Yum, whatever. But does Pepsi own Yum?
I thought potentially. I thought Yum Brands was specifically restaurants, right?
I don't know.
It's Yum with an exclamation point, I'm pretty sure. Yes, Yum Brands. Yeah, the Yum Brands is KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Wing Street, and a few more.
Habit Burger Grill. What the fuck that is?
I think also A&W, Long John Silver's. Which we talked about Long John Silver's last time.
Still looking for that sponsorship. Because I'm the one person to take a stand and say Long John Silver's. I'm not even going to say it's good. I'm saying it isn't as bad as we make it out to be. Anyway, so Pepsi.
You are correct. It is PepsiCo's fast food division.
Okay, so I know some things. But anyway, so Pepsi released a statement. Well, Quaker Foods CMO Kristen Kropfel said, "We recognize Aunt Jemima's origins are based on racial stereotype. While work has been done..." Oh, I haven't drank enough, so my reading is shit. "But while work has been done over the years to update the brand in a manner intended to be appropriate and respectful, we realize those changes are not enough. It only took them how fucking many decades to be like, that's a little racist. Same thing with the Washington Redskins. It's been around for a while. And it's like, yeah, let's finally change it. It's like, and they change it. And then what happened? All the people that were like, oh my God, are they really going to change it? Now it's the football team. Nobody cares. They made the playoffs. Exactly.
I actually just looked them up today because I was curious if they were going to announce a name change. Apparently, they have one more year. I think they're planning to announce before the 2022 season.
What the fuck was that?
I just drank my Pop Tab.
You took a drink and then I heard a crunch.
Yeah, the Pop Tab came out of my mouth. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Did Uncle Ben's, they were the other one that was changing, right? Did they announce the change yet?
I didn't look that up. Uncle Ben's rice to change brand as part of parent company stance. That was in June of 2020, though.
Well, apparently they haven't made up their mind yet. So, next thing. Have you heard of the Gorilla Glue Challenge yet? Because who hasn't?
I didn't know of it as a challenge. I did know there was a video of a girl who put it in her hair thinking it was like a type of hair glue situation. And then she ended up looking like Sherman Hemsley afterwards.
Dude, it is. So to be fair, she used a pretty strong glue before. She used to use the Got to Be, which is hardcore stuff. Like, I've used it in the past,
but that's made for hair.
It is made for hair. Yeah, this girl put industrial strength Gorilla Glue spray in her hair.
It looked good for the second that it was in there, but then
it's been like weeks now, and like she had to go to the ER, and it was a really interesting reaction though. Like
the comment section on her picture where it showed like the missing hair. There was one girl that was like, "Man, this is real sad, but why'd you keep all the hair on the on the outside still? Why not just shave it all?"
She should shave it all off.
She wasn't done with it like that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They got the glue part off her head. And then, like I said, she's rocking the Sherman Hemsley for a minute, but she probably didn't go home with that.
It was such a, it was like that for at least a week. I think
Gorilla Glue's good stuff.
Like the ER like sent her home with stuff to do. Anyway, The comments were, it was really interesting. Like half of it were people who were like trying to help and trying to like give advice and like, oh, mix with this or put this in, or have you tried that or this? And the other half of the people just completely making fun of her and just at her expense having a good old time with it. And I was like, that's a weird, that says something about our society. I'd be like, also, who the fuck is Armie Hammer? Do you know about this? He's an actor, I've learned. Not a very good one. He played Billy Graham in the like biopic of his thing. He was the Lone Ranger in the new Lone Ranger thing, like new, like 8 years ago.
But I heard of someone named Armie Hammer. Oh, yeah, his great-grandfather, oil tycoon Armand Hammer.
Yes.
Bought Armand Hammer, like the baking soda brand, because he was tired of people making the
Is joke. That true, though? Like, I've heard that as a kind of anecdote, but I don't know if that's actually true. Yeah, so this dude, he's been in something. Oh, he was Ruth Bader Ginsburg's husband in the movie On the Basis of Sex, which is a good movie. Anyway, he was only in it briefly. So, like, he's Hollywood. People know him. Have you heard the allegations that have been coming out against him?
Not even one.
Who? It's allegations of sexual abuse and cannibalistic fetishism.
Huh.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of things about one of his exes coming out about how he, like, it started as, like, a BDSM thing, but he went way too far with it. Points where he was like carving his initials in her and all this other thing. The texts that came out were very much like very cannibalistic in nature. Quite interesting. Like, I want to eat your face and a bunch of other things. Anyway, apparently this is something, if you're listening to this, go do this if you haven't done it already, to the people out there now. Look into this and look into some of these conspiracy theories about this guy. Apparently he moved around.
Oh, real quick, with his great-grandfather or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, in the 1980s, Hammer owned a considerable amount of stock in Church & Wright, the company that manufactures Arm & Hammer. He also served on its board of directors. However, while Hammer and Occidental said the Church & Wright investment was a coincidence, Hammer acknowledged previously trying to buy the Arm & Hammer brand as a result of being asked about it. So he tried to buy, he did own a lot of stock in the company and then tried to buy the brand.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was successful in doing it. So that was a myth that he did buy, but he did attempt to because he was tired of people asking.
I did read about his grandfather a little bit. So I think his
probably wasn't a cannibal.
I think it's his great grandfather, right?
His great or great great, one of those two words.
It's his great grandfather, Armand Hammer. Yeah. Anyway, his great grandfather with the same name. His parents were immigrants from Ukraine, Jewish Ukrainian immigrants. It was the Russian Empire at the time. It was theorized that when he was born that he might have been named after Arm & Hammer, the brand, because it was already had been around.
Yeah, so his parents are just dickheads.
Yeah,
because who's named Armand anywhere else?
Well, I think it's a Ukrainian, Jewish Ukrainian name.
But that's true. I do know a guy named Armando, but that's Mexican.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
So yeah, it is checks out. It is a name.
Yeah, apparently he was named after the arm and the hammer in like the Soviet thing, though, potentially. So that's a different thing. But it's the arm and hammer. Yes, I'll read you the thing if you want it.
No, sorry, I didn't care. But anyway, you're talking about conspiracy theories about the cannibalistic traits.
Armie Hammer. Of Armie. Yes.
Little Armie eating people.
Yeah, it's kind of this crazy thing where there's multiple girlfriends have come out and like, yep, he got really into this and he was like carving letters into us and like cutting them and doing all these things. And then there's these things where he moved around. Or he got a new place out in like the desert somewhere and all this and that. And later these women turned up dead very nearby and had like parts of their body removed. I ain't looking into it too much. I'm going to leave that up for everyone else and they can make their own decisions. But it's been an interesting one. And if anything does come of it, we'll talk about it. I don't know. That was something that was going on.
Yeah. Didn't even, know he existed before this conversation.
Me either. I kept hearing his name. I was like, it's got to be someone, right? He's kind of an actor.
So in other news, did you hear about that Maria Montessori Academy in North Ogden, Utah, that allowed parents to opt their kids out of Black History Month education?
I did vaguely hear about that, yes.
Well, they've redacted that now. So
that's probably a good choice.
A school in Utah is continuing its Black History Month curriculum after parents asked the school to allow their children to opt out of the program. Utah, huh?
What?
What a state.
What do you do in Utah?
It's not Utah. It's a one school in North Ogden, Utah. It's does not reflect the views of the entire state. It took less than a week for them to realize, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the schools are just now starting to do it. I mean, they kind of mentioned it when we were kids, but I feel like it was, hey, Martin Luther King Jr. was a person, and Rosa Parks rode a bus, and we didn't get much more out of that. I mean, you got more and more as you got older, I guess, yeah. But then I feel like you get to high school and it kind of stopped, because they were, I don't know, in their own curriculum.
Yeah, what we barely got an education. We went to public school, so we barely got an education in general. Like, dude, at least half of all of our education came from ourselves and growing up, like, in the early internet age of, like, learning shit on our own.
I don't know where you stand on this, but so I'm just now getting a firm grasp on, like, measurements in the kitchen. Like, before, I could never tell you how many teaspoons are in a tablespoon.
I still don't know for sure.
I don't know how many cups are in a quart and in a gallon.
I know some.
All those shit.
But I don't know all of it off the top of my head.
I'm starting to get the little ones because I cook enough and I have to ask my wife so much that it's starting to get beat into me. But so I realized this, and we were talking about this in like high school one time. One of our mutual friends, one of your old roommates, actually, him and I went to the same elementary school where we were supposed to learn this shit. And we both realized neither of us knew. And I was like, well, clearly the system failed. Like, yeah. Both of us are sitting there looking it up. We're like, okay, neither of us know what this is. And we were in the same, you know, K through third grade. We went here when they were supposed to be teaching us this stuff.
I mean, this one might be a little more, not a complete attack on the school, but just me in general. I didn't know what Rise Over Run was until 10th grade. Like, I was literally, like, the epitome of fake until you make it in math class. Like, I never asked for help, so it was on me. But it was just, like, I got through it, and then once I got into geometry in high school, I was like, oh, so that's what that shit meant. It just never came up to where I was like, I absolutely need to know this. I took math on a need-to-know basis, even though you kind of need to know it. I don't know how I got through it, but
I mean, that's what I started doing once I got into college. I mean, luckily, I started off somewhere that didn't make you learn outside of your major. So I started as an architecture major, and I started in, like, geometry for architects. Like, gotcha. Like, they're like, nope, that's all you need to know is the geometry for architects. And, like, you don't need to know anything beyond that.
Which is another shot at, like, American schooling system, specifically public school, with the classes they have you take that they force you to take. When I get like basic mathematics, like you do algebra and all that. Some of the stuff, yes, you do use that. Like factoring fucking percentages. Like you need to know that in situations. Fractions, being able, when you're measuring stuff in the kitchen, like being able to know what to quarter, to half. Not even like the size of the cups, but like what half of something is, what a quarter of something is, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like just basic mathematics and stuff. Needing to know surface area, it can come in handy, but it
depends what you do, right?
You like, don't need to know.
You're an engineer, really. Yeah.
But granted, some of the classes we took were somewhat elective. They weren't required, but like taking anatomy, that's kind of stuff you should probably know. You don't need to know.
That was on you. I didn't take anatomy.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying you didn't. I barely learned anything. I skated through that class. But like dissecting a fetal pig.
I can't tell you where my spleen is today. I have no idea. Come on.
It's inside there somewhere. But then when you get to college, that's a thing that I didn't like about going to a state school in a similar vein for college. They made you take a lot of core classes, a lot of gen ed classes of like, why do I need to take a medieval history class?
Right.
Why do I have to take...
Well, you get to pick which one, though, right? Like, it didn't have to be medieval history.
But, I mean, there was, like, three options for, like, base level history. Yeah. There was medieval history, or it was, well, medieval, like, European history. There was American history up to, like, 1882. And then there was history 1882 to present, basically.
Ew.
And it's like, you had to take a certain amount of classes. And I remember being in the... second history class, it was my last semester of the one that I just opted out. Like, I was like, I tapped out. I can't handle it right now. I'm going through a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was 25 at the time, I think. Something like that.
No, you're younger than that.
Well, no, it was in 2014, 2015.
You're like 23.
It's 24. It was 25. It was the winter of 2015, like the fall semester. So I was 24 years old. I was in a class with a bunch of fucking 18-year-olds, a bunch of freshmen. Like,
oh,
this was their first semester in college. So they were all super eager to be there. They're all super. I'm gonna raise my hand and ask a question. I want to make sure the professor knows me, and the whole class was doing it.
I mean, that generally is a good thing.
No, but it was not. It was specifically like 25 students in that class, all super eager, just wanted to say something so the teacher heard their voice. The teacher like recognized them. Nothing. It took us so long to get through fucking chapters in this book because we're talking about shit in like the 1880s. And this kid is asking about Hitler and the Third Reich. I was like, doesn't exist yet, dummy. Why are we talking about this? I'm sitting here dying inside because these kids are just asking nonsensical questions. Like, how do you think he would have acted in this situation? What do you think he was feeling? It doesn't fucking matter. All we need to know is names, dates, what happened, and why. You don't need to know their...
Like, those are the damn people that talking about the impeachment shit earlier who are senators now asking dumbass questions in this thing.
The thing that killed me the most was someone like, how does he compare to Adolf Hitler running the Third Reich? It's like, at this point in time, it's vastly different because Hitler wasn't born yet. Like, I don't know why we're bringing this up, but the guy was super into like student participation, so he would always humor every question. Oof. And I'm just sitting there wanting to blow my fucking brains. That's part of why I opted out of the fucking semester. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do fucking freshman level classes at this age.
Yeah. I went through some of that with... Mine wasn't because... Mine happened after I transferred. And by the time I got to my third school...
Yeah, you transferred. Was... Let's talk about that real quick.
Well, that sounds bad. It sounds like I was like failing out of school. It was like I transferred for specific reasons.
Because you wanted to get out of the architecture program. But then you transferred again.
Yeah,
because...
after I transferred out of my program, I switched to business at the same school. Then realized I shouldn't be paying as much as I was to be at that school to get a business degree. So I switched to an in-state school. I was supposed to get a set amount of money. They increased tuition, didn't give me any more money. I couldn't afford it anymore.
You also transferred
finished at a school,
to a private school
that would pay me to go there.
That was your first mistake. Well, you transferred to a private school.
They fucked me over.
Yeah, they did fuck you over.
Which I learned, it was not just me. I like talking to friends and other people who have gone there. That school fucks with everyone's tuition every year. They never gave them as much as they wanted. Like, not just wanted. They never gave them as much as like they promised to them. They would increase. So they also increased tuition on an actual like annual level, not a school level. So if schools, you know, the school year's from, you know, say August 2020 through May 2021, but they do tuition rates based on January 2021 through December 2021. So you can be halfway through the school year and they go, oh, we're going to raise tuition. And you're like, wait, you didn't tell me how much tuition was going to go up for 2021.
Yeah.
when you promised me the money for 2020 and I'm only here for half a year. Yeah. Like, so I got screwed out of that.
That's one more thing to thank Daddy Daniels for at Purdue. Every year he's been there, he's froze tuition. And they're like, what about like...
It's been like 7 years or something now. Yeah. That tuition's
every year froze. He just freezes it. And they're like, but what about increased costs? And so he's like, we'll find the money other places.
Looks like everyone's doing fine.
What
down
was
there.
He out before he was the president of Purdue? Like what?
Governor of Indiana.
I couldn't remember what office he held. I just remember some people didn't like him. Because I remember seeing the ditch.
Oh, fun fact ditch about
Mitch
him.
Bumper stickers.
Yeah, fun fact about Mitch Daniels. I mean, he was a Republican governor, so where we lived in the North, very Democratic, they didn't like him. So I met Mitch Daniels once after, actually, so I think it was his first year, first or second year. I think it was his first year, incoming president of Purdue. Purdue and Notre Dame played a football game in Indy. They played at Lucas Oil. I was down there with a bunch of Purdue friends, and I'm a Notre Dame football fan. So I was like, you know, Notre Dame shirt and hat and walking around with Purdue people. But all the Purdue people got me into the alumni tailgate experiencing they had set up outside the stadium. So I walked in with them, and like we listened to like the Purdue band play, which was cool because like I knew people in the Purdue band. Like I'm friends with all the Purdue people. So I had a good time hanging out, getting drinks, whatever. Mitch Daniels was there, and he was giving a speech. Like after the band played, he was just like hyping everyone up, like, you know, pep rally style. Afterward, he comes out and you can tell during the speech, he was struggling a little bit, kind of slurring a little bit. We saw him at the bar earlier. He was sloshed, dude. He was absolutely shit faced. And we didn't realize how drunk it's like. He kept it together for the speech pretty well, but he came down and he was taking pictures of we have pictures with him hanging out with our group. And a friend of a friend at Purdue, someone I hung out with me, I went to parties and stuff, but we were just like hanging there, just talking there, drinking. Mitch Daniels comes up and he's like, you two together? He's like, you two would make a cute couple. And we're like, he's like, this guy needs a Purdue girl. Cause I had like Notre Dame shirt on and everything. He's like, this guy needs a Purdue girl. He's like, you two would be good together. And we're like, what? No, her boyfriend's over there. Like
that's Daddy Daniels.
It was the funny. I was like, it was hilarious. He was a good guy. He was friendly. He was just ribbing me about my Notre Dame shirt. And he it wasn't a shot. We were taking shots and we were drinking and he came over and he like cheers us, took a drink of his beer and kept walking. But goddamn, Mitch Daniels, ex-governor of Indiana, met him while he was drunk. And
which
so
is
was I.
Kind of funny. I wouldn't say similar, but in the same vein of meeting him not in like a professional setting, in a more casual setting. I met him at the gym at Purdue at the co-rec. Dude's a little bit swole for his age too. Like he has some guns on him and everyone's just doing their thing. And it's like, oh, hey, Mitch Daniels. And it's like, hey, how you guys doing? And then just going like, it wasn't like, he was just such a like regular guy about it. It's like, yeah, president of the university, but I work out too.
Yeah. Gotta work out. Yeah. It was always a weird thing for me when I was in college. Like I used to go to the gym super early. Like I'd be there like 5 or 6, which is early for a college person. Or like I'd go, it was either that or I'd go like right after some classes, like in the middle of the day. It was a really weird time. But when I went super early, one of my marketing professors was always there. And I was always like, this is weird.
Yeah,
I don't want to work out next
to you. I get
you.
Seeing a professor, someone that like directly affects your grades, that's different.
Yeah.
But when it's the fucking president of the university and he's just a chill dude, it's way nicer.
It's definitely a different level. The funny thing was like he would never really acknowledge, like he would like say hi or whatever but not really acknowledge me until the next semester. Like after I got an A in his class, the next semester he was always really excited to see me. Like I wasn't in his class anymore, but he just remembered me because I actually got an A in his class. I was like, all right, I still don't want to talk to you while I'm at the gym, but whatever. This is a weird thing. Seeing anyone outside of their normal habitat's a weird environment, I guess. Like I remember like when you were a little kid, seeing your like elementary school teachers like at the store or something. Like one of my teachers in the summer, she was a cashier at like JCPenney or something, somewhere in the mall. And she was like, went there with my mom and she's like checking us out. And I was like,
that's my teacher.
That's weird.
You know, it's weird. Well, no, that was a thing at Marshall. Is one of the teacher, I think it was a special ed teacher, but she worked at Staples. But then looking back at that, like comparing that to today's standards, imagine just your teacher has to have a cashier's job just to, that's how we underpay teachers in this society.
And like, that's 100% agree with that.
Granted, they had summer jobs too, because
I was going to say the ones in the summer could be doing it just because they wanted to do something to make extra money.
But when they're working, when they get off work at school during the year or weekends during the school year,
college is kind of a different level, especially once you're a professor. Yeah, I know it because my wife is a professor. But at the adjunct level, I remember having one of my like lecturers, professors, whatever you want to call her, in college, one of my writing classes, and she had to teach at three different universities to patch together, because she was part time, to just to patch together. Like she taught there. She taught at IUSB in South Bend. She taught at the community college in South Bend. And then she taught at Andrews University in Michigan. So at least once a week, I think it was Thursdays, if I remember, it was a weird one, that she always had to leave 15 minutes early because she had to pack up all her stuff and drive across town to get to the other university before her next class started.
Well, that was my English teacher, my first year of college at IUSB. She really wants, like, Spanish was her first language. Like she's bilingual. She told us, she's like, I really want to teach a Spanish class. Like, if nothing else, like introductory Spanish, since I know Spanish and English, but they wouldn't let her teach more than two classes a semester.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of that, with like traveling, my sister, when she graduated with her master's degree at Loyola, she got a part-time job teaching labs at St. Mary's College. But she was living in Chicago at the time, so she would take the fucking South Shore to South Bend like 2 days a week to teach her labs and then go back to Chicago.
Jesus. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, grad students kind of go through the same thing, and they're also students, but they don't make a whole lot when they're doing that. And usually that's their only job. Plus, I mean, so they're teaching, they're doing research to try and get their master's or PhD.
Oh shit, my buddy from Purdue, when he was going for his doctorate in his engineering program, he had to fucking work at the bar serving to make ends meet, like while he was doing that, because
that's crazy. And he was probably getting paid to teach classes.
That was another they basically give you like a grant as your payment.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what your pay for the year.
Yeah.
But I think I'm probably going to butcher the information here, but whoever was in charge of the money held it. They decided they were going to hold it and like give it to, like divvy it up to him, to where it fucked up his entire financial planning for the year.
Yeah. Usually it's like grants and depending some of the fellowships and then like postdocs and things, those are based on like who you're working with a lot of the times. So like if your professor doesn't have their shit together, you're kind of screwed. We should bring my wife on.
Dude, we should bring her in all the time and just let people know what she has to deal with us.
Well, right now it's good because we'll have a whole discussion on how fucked up the higher education system is. Not today.
Well, no. I'm just saying, just let her be like the third chair, or just be like the engineer trying to keep this podcast in check, and then.
Oh, no. We'll make sure she drinks plenty with us during the happy hour. She still has to try. Really,
it's going to be a lot of sighing on her end.
Actually, it'll be an interesting one with her because she is a newsy person more than we are and follows along. So she might actually have quite a bit to add.
She'll add actual stuff, and then it's just going to us be the idiots that we are, and then it's just going to be a lot of...
Hey, you never know. We might find a new formula with her.
Maybe not a full-time schedule, but like... just try it out, just see what it's like. But then we're gonna sully her career, her actual career, by being involved with us.
She's already warned me I can't go too crazy to mess up any of her future plans. So
just get on here and be like, you know what? Fuck math.
Oh no, she's already said that.
She loves math though.
I mean, kind of. She likes teaching more.
Did you have any other news stories that you saved? Cool, because I have one that was like, wasn't really a news story. It just kept coming up on my Google Trends as I was like refreshing the page. Rob Zombie, musician and director, apparently he's a vegan. And he's super adamant about being vegan. And he says vegan is metal.
Yep.
Speaking of being vegan.
It's interesting. There's more more celebrities than you would think are vegan. I don't know why it's a weird thing. Like,
it's just the stigma.
Generally people are vegan or plant-based people, but
it's similar to the idea, like the joke with rollerblading, why rollerblading stopped being a thing because of one joke someone made. Do you know the joke?
No.
What's the hardest part about rollerblading? Telling your parents you're gay. That was like back in the 70s, and then rollerblading fell out of fashion. But then with veganism, it's how do you know if someone's vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you. So it's like, it's stigmatized just off of a joke. So there's nothing wrong with being vegan. It's just, like in any case, there's a vocal minority that people that aren't part of the cult, aren't in that lifestyle, attribute that. That's all vegans. All vegans are assholes like that. And all vegans are like...
And there's two parts to that for sure. There's the veganism... isn't just your diet either. Like, veganism is a lifestyle, which is why I don't claim to be vegan ever. It's a whole thing that, you know, I try and do my best, but I can't say that I'm vegan. But we can talk about that more in the real deal this week.
We can, and we will.
Join us next time.
This has been the Wasted Information Happy Hour. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at WastedInfoPod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.
The Happy Hour.